Our Old Testament reading comes from 1 Samuel chapter 7, verses 1 through 12. Listen for the word of God. And the people of Kiriath-Jearim came and took up the ark of the Lord, and they brought it to the house of Abinadab on the hill. They consecrated it to the house of they consecrated his son Eleazar to have charge of the ark of the Lord. From the day that the ark was lodged at Kiriath-Jearim, a long time passed, some 20 years, and all the house of Israel lamented after the Lord. Then Samuel said to all the house of Israel, "If you're returning to the Lord with all your heart, then put away the foreign gods and the Astartes from among you. Direct your hearts to the Lord and serve him only, and he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines." So Israel put away the Baals and the Astartes, and they served the Lord only. Then Samuel said, "Gather all Israel at Mizpah, and I will pray to the Lord for you." So they gathered at Mizpah, drew water, and poured it out before the Lord. They fasted that day and said, "We've sinned against the Lord." And Samuel judged the people of Israel at Mizpah. When the Philistines heard that the people of Israel had gathered at Mizpah, the lords of the Philistines went up against Israel. And when the people of Israel heard it, they were afraid of the Philistines. The people of Israel said to Samuel, "Do not cease to cry out to the Lord our God for us and pray that he may save us from the hand of the Philistines." So Samuel took a suckling lamb and offered it as a whole burnt offering to the Lord. Samuel cried out to the Lord for Israel, and the Lord answered him. As Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to attack Israel, but the Lord thundered with a mighty voice that day against the Philistines and threw them into confusion, and they were routed before Israel. And the men of Israel went out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines and struck them down as far as beyond Beth-Kar. Then Samuel took a stone and set it up between Mizpah and Jeshanah and named it Ebenezer, for he said, "Thus far the Lord has helped us." This is the word of God for the people of God. Let's pray. Gracious God, we thank you for how far you have helped us. We pray that you will help us to trust you, that you will take us all the way. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. There's a good amount of violence in the passage that we talked about. The people of Israel are in the passage I read just now, the people of Israel are fighting the Philistines. The Philistines have come out to go to battle against them, and I'm sort of walking this way a minute. They've come out to battle, and they meet the Israelites at Mizpah, and then the Israelites chase them back a long way, and they get to a certain place, and they get that far, and Samuel grabs a rock. Again, use your imagination. We're going to pretend that this is a rock, and he sets it up, and he says, "This far. This is how far God has helped us." So, and he names the rock Ebenezer. Eben would be stone, and Azer, help. Ebenezer, the stone of help, the stone that says, "This right here, that's how far God helped us." So I want to talk about our Ebenezers this morning, the places in our lives where we've set up monuments to times when we've sensed that God has helped us in some way beyond our ability to help ourselves. Where did I put it? That's funny. Would have been funny if I'd brought it and I hadn't been able to find it. This is a journal that I've kept since about 2007, and I don't know if I'll be able to find it, but at one point in here, I was working at a camp named Jamonville, southwestern Pennsylvania. It was a really great time that first year, and I went off to college and in Indiana, which was super far away from my home in Pennsylvania, and I got really lonely, and I really missed it there. And when I came back at the end of the year, I worked at the camp again the next summer, I climbed up the mountain and, you know, went up to the giant cross that's up on the hill, and I knelt down and I thanked God for getting me that far, for bringing me back. And I took a moment in the chapel to say thank you. And I recorded it in my journal, and I probably won't be able to find it. Should have looked it up. Whatever. It's fine. It's in here. My sense of gratitude for having gotten back to what had become my home. Another place that I keep my Ebenezers is on my Facebook feed. I'll log things like when Kristen and I bought our first house. Or actually, fun fact, this is the 4-year anniversary of my first day as your pastor. I know that because I put that up in my memories of this was not a thing that I was expecting. It was such a gift. Just last Wednesday was the 4th anniversary of us driving to Michigan, so I started a few days later. I'm not going to ask you to share your own Ebenezers now, but if you'd like to, I'd be happy for anyone who wants to share that during the joys and concerns. The things that have set up in your life and you can go, okay, that went down further than I expected. This is how far God has brought us by God's faithfulness. I expect for some of you, I hope I put it in here, this right here, this piece of concrete with a number 1954 might be something of an Ebenezer. For those of you who aren't entirely sure what that is right outside those doors there. It's the year that this church building was built. Church has been around for now over 68 years. Last week, Robert mentioned some concerns we have with the budget. We're going to be a few $1,000s in the red unless some significant gifts, tithes, and offerings come in before the end of the year. But I think that it's so important to put that in the context of just how far God has brought Fair Plain Presbyterian Church since its founding in 1954. It's important that we put up a stone or we look at that stone and we say, look, this is how far God has brought us. This is what God has done for us as a church, what God has accomplished through our cooperation with and cooperation with God and collaboration with one another. How far has God helped us? How many hungry people have been fed at the soup kitchen, at the food pantry, at the community dinners we served before the pandemic? Decades and decades worth of potlucks. How many souls have been nourished on the spiritual food of God's word, on fellowship with other believers and hymns sung, home communion brought by ruling elders and pastors and deacons? How much faith formation happened in countless Christian education classes? How many people were reached and spiritually nourished and encouraged via our live stream, the CDs that got, and probably before that, cassette tapes? Did we pass out cassette tapes before I got here? Did we? Somebody help me. Are there cassette tapes? I think I saw some in the library.
Those might have been from the pastor. I don't know if we sent them out.
Okay. Oh, okay, they were just recorded. Well, we think we did? I'm sure we did. I mean, how many thousands or tens of thousands, even hundreds of thousands, saw messages that inspired hope or maybe a chuckle on our sign? The current iteration says we're not small, we're fun-sized. But how many people were helped by YouthWorks who shared our space this past summer? How many conversations sustained souls over coffee in the courtyard room and before that in the fellowship hall down below? How many pastors and staff members, like me, were cared for with fair salaries? All this to say, I and so many others are grateful for this stone of help on the front of our building of what God has done. And I stuck with Psalm 127, which says, unless God builds the house, the laborers who build it are wasting their time. It's not a passage about despair. It's a passage about hope. Unless God builds the church, it was a waste. And you can look back on the history since that stone got put in place and go, okay, God's been doing stuff all this time. But the thing about that Ebenezer stone is this. It's not just about what God did in the past. It's not. It's about seeing that stone and reflecting on what God did in the past, and having it inspire faith and hope for what God will do in the future. Because unless God builds the house or the church, the people doing it are wasting their time. Because as much as we might be tempted to look back in the past and say, I'm really proud of what we've accomplished, that accomplishment's not ours alone, you know. The song says, we will go forth in grace alone. I did not choose to sing or have Amazing Grace done 3 times this morning, but there it is. Chris did it and Vladimir picked it, so there's. It almost seems like there's a reason there. We'll go forth in grace alone. Hither by thy help I've come. I've gotten this far by God's help. If you're someone who usually gives or pledges at Fairplane, your pledge card will be coming in the mail early next week. We normally ask for a number on that pledge card per week, per month, per year, and I believe we ask for prayers. But this time I want to ask for one thing more, and this will be in the letter as well. I want to ask for one of your Ebenezer moments on the back of that pledge card, a time that you looked back to as feeling that you were helped by God, maybe in a way you can't imagine any other way other than God having done it. And when we collect those cards on 2 weeks in November 20th, let's just pause for a minute and acknowledge that it's going to be November 20th in 2 weeks. I'm going to ask the person who takes in those pledge cards to copy the back of them, only the back, because I want to set up an Ebenezer board in the back of the sanctuary so we can look at it and see how far God has brought us. As for Fairplane Presbyterian Church, how much longer will Fairplane Presbyterian Church continue onward? I don't know. By God's grace, it may not be very long, or by God's grace, it may be many, many years or decades. What I do know is this. Thus far, God has helped us. And by God's help, our continued participation in God's work will go on as far as God will take us. One of those things that we have in the Christian church that serves as a stone of help, a sign that says this is how far God has helped us, is the cross, which you see up behind us. Can you click to the next slide, Michael? We usually have a cross on the table, and we've got one up there. They're all over the place. A couple other stones of help that we have are this font, which reminds us of our baptism. Another Ebenezer we might have set down. When God claimed us in love before we were able to respond in faith. We also have the bread and the cup, which reminds us of Jesus' sacrifice, reminds us just how far God has brought us from a cross outside Jerusalem into death with Christ and into resurrection with Christ. The bread and the cup are not simply symbols of what is past, but promises in the present about the future. This is the table not of the church, but of God.